Hi, I'm Haynes. Nice meeting you guys. I'm not a fan of pizza until I came across this one restaurant. My friend was planning a birthday party for like 13 people, and to be honest, it's really hard to find a place to meet up. But anyways, she wanted to check this pizza place out, so I read some review on Google, and it was not good, okay? But to be honest, you cannot trust Google review all the time, right? So the review said the service and the food were below average, but she insists to take the chance, so we went. I'm telling you, the review was kind of like right. They overlooked our reservations, the table was not set up properly, the server was laid back, and at the end, the manager took over and served us. So while we all settled down, but all of a sudden, something good caught my attention. $18, pizza, and a beer. Is it a great deal? Probably, yeah. The average cost for a pizza around $22. But the challenge is, if you order a pizza with a beer, you will pay less. Okay, the average pizza costs around $20 to $22. But if you order a pizza and a beer, $18. I'm a smart customer. Although I'm not a beer drinker, I am a smart customer. I'll order the pizza combo, no question asked, okay? Would you guys do that too? I'm quite confident, okay? So a quiet place, and turn out I like the pizza a lot. It's so chewy, it's very, very nice. But that's one interesting observation I have through all my times being that restaurant. While we enjoy our Monday special with my families and friends all the time, I go often, okay? You can see customers just order a pizza with no beer. What are you doing? What's wrong with you? I didn't say out loud, okay? I didn't ask that customer. Why you just order a pizza for $22, not the pizza combo, pizza and a beer? Do you know that maybe they overlook the promotion? Or if not, they must be rich, okay? Not, I want to say that word, but I cannot. They must be rich. $18 pizza versus a $22 same pizza at the same restaurant on the same day, I would be very upset if I were them. If I know that's a good deal, and I'm not going to take advantage of it, I'll be very upset of myself, and I would consider myself rich. That is so clever. So can you relate to it somehow? A little while ago on Facebook, I'm not so sure if you see this post, I came across some old magazine and newspaper. That's the one, okay? This is one of the ads from 1916. That said, it was healthy to give blessed beer to infants. As you can see the title, hey, how mother and baby picked it up. And it says, a case of blessed beer in your home means so much to the young mother, and obviously baby participate in its benefits. The melt in the beer supply the nursing qualities that are essential at this time. Beer for the infants. And then the last line said, always the same good old bless. Of course, young mother up there, you will give the beer to your infants. Will you do that? The next one is nice too. It's from 1885, advertised cocaine to stuff. For children, okay. I'm sure you get it somehow. Cocaine to tooth drop. I'm not so sure why they could allow that, but definitely cocaine wasn't made illegal until like 1907. And the other one, the next one is, this one is good. 7-Up, huh? He's watched a copy of one of the ads in the campaign. For a fact, You can give, even give this sparkling drinks to babies. Lots of mothers do just that. Really? I'm not sure you're asking if mothers are around. Did you guys give 7-Up to the babies? 7-Up is so pure and so wholesome. By the way, mom, when it comes to toddler, okay, it says, okay, it's really hard to say, but I just write it up, type it up. If they like to be tempted to drink their milk, try this. Add 7-Up to the milk in equal parts, pouring the 7-Up gently into the milk, and it's wholesome combination, and it works. I know it works for sure, 7-Up, right? Make 7-Up your family drinks. That's a headline, that's a line, that's nice too. The next one is last but not least, but I just want to keep showing you the ads, right? Bayer Pharmaceutical Products present to you heroin hydrochloride, the cheapest specific for the relief of cough. Yes, when you have heroin somehow in you, you are not coughing for sure. Oh, no problem. It's clever. Things that was once we thought were so smart, we now see as being very foolish. And if they know what we know today, do you think they would give the cocaine drops or the 7-Up to their children? They will make a fool of themselves if they actually did it somehow. What is a fool? What is a fool? Who is a fool right now? Who is a fool? Howard, you're a fool? If you have all the important, what is a fool? If you have all the important information related to the decisions you're going to make, and you still make an unwise choice, you probably are somewhat likely to be a fool. If you knew morphine or cocaine or heroin are not a bet for your children, but you still let them have it, you must be a fool. And I'm sure you guys know, that the beer or 7-Up is not good for infant for sure, but you still let your newborn drink it. What do you think you are, a smart guy? You must be a fool. You knew gravity, and you had the same kind of experience as Isaac Newton, and you still act as if there's no gravity at all. And you want to jump out of Eiffel Tower, kind of, and moonwalk like a Michael Jackson up in the air. What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You think you are clever, smart, or a fool? Come on, smart guy. If you know the truth, but act as if there's none, you are a fool. But the ultimate fool of all is that someone who knew there's a God, but live a life as if God doesn't exist. But please, don't just limit these people are a bunch of non-believer. Have you ever met Christians who believe in God, but live a life as if God does not exist? It's very sad, but sadly, this is very common in church these days. To be honest, I don't get it. How can someone be like that? Believes in God, but live a life as if God does not exist. Proverbs 26:12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? That's more hope for a fool than him. Proverbs 12:15, the weight of a fool is right in his own eyes. 28:26, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. The writer of Proverbs gives us some insights. The fool is wise in his own eyes, right in his own eyes, and trusts in his own mind. They are arrogant. Their pride blindfolded them somehow. Let me tell you, being foolish is not just silly, okay? They are sinful. Being foolish is not just silly, but sinful. They knew there's a God, but they completely ignore God as if he does not exist. In Romans 1:18, Apostle Paul explained that the wrath of God is against this unrelenting stubbornness of failing to recognize and honor God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. God is against these foolish men, and they have no excuse. Romans 1:19, for what can be known about God is plain to us because God has shown it to them. The problem is the fool choose to be foolish. The fool is always choose to be foolish, okay? But they act in a way, they choose to be foolish and have the way of ungodliness and unrighteousness. Do you know cocaine drops is not good for your child? If so, why do you still let your precious child take these like cocaine drops? I would be out of my mind if I mix my 7-Up equal parts with milk and let my newborn babies take it. It's tough. The knowledge of God has these information, just like the knowledge of God has been revealed and made plain to us. So we deep down, we know what is right and what is wrong and what is wise and what is not. God truly review everything to us. Romans chapter 1:20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Creation itself testifies about its creator. Psalm 19:1, the heaven declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. It is impossible, I'm telling you, to live on this planet without recognizing God, as nature is proof of his existence. It's really tough. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where the voice is not heard. God's glory is displaced by the things around us. His invisible qualities, eternal power, divine nature are shown to us, and God made himself known through the creation of our universe. But so how can someone miss it? Romans 1:21-22. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Their minds, their hearts were darkened by not honoring the creator of all things, and they became fool. They knew there's a God, but live as if God does not exist. King Solomon, perhaps the wisest man in the world, wrote these words: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He used the phrase, the fear of the Lord. In this context, fear refers to the recognitions and reverence. Wisdom always begins with the recognitions of who God is. But this doesn't mean to simply recognize his power and knowledge. This is also recognizing you are dealing with the one and only creator of all things, and then we respond accordingly. A wise man is someone who knows that God exists. Take this fact seriously and reverently and seek to please him with his or her life. In the next few weeks, we will spend more time on wisdom and friendship and truthfulness and time. Today, I would like to explore a parable of Jesus in Matthew 7, 24, 27 on wisdom. Matthew 7, 24, 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the flood came. The winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it has found on the rock. And everyone who hears this word of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. This parable is in Matthew 7, ends Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which began in a few chapters earlier. It's a rather simple parable, but the meaning is so, so profound. Jesus is comparing and compare and contrast two builders. One is wise. One is foolish. He emphasized how critical it is to have a strong foundation. The wise man built on the rock, a solid foundation, while the foolish built on the sand. The interesting part is, The interesting part is Jesus does not identify the wise man by what they know. I'll repeat one more time. The interesting part is Jesus does not identify the wise man by what they know. Instead, Jesus teaches that wisdom is what you do with what you know. Jesus said, everyone who hears a word and does what it says is like a wise man. Both the wise and the foolish hear the words. But probably both of them knew what is important, but only the wise man follows the word. And that's important. The key is not about what we hear. The key is about what you do with what you know. That's matter. Frankly speaking, the foolish builder must think that he's actually the wise guy, because he knows the shortcuts. He knows when to take advantage of. And he knows he's using the least amount of effort to create the same house, at least look the same, That is so clever. Use the least amount of effort to create the same kind of house, the same kind of product. That's clever in many people's eyes. Each house looks alike and acceptable in good weather. When the sun was shining, the two houses probably looked pretty similar on the outside. People may not be able to even recognize the difference between the two houses in good weather. But the problem is, the sun does not always shine. When the rain began to fall and fell and came down and keep raining until the flood came up, the wind blows and beat against the houses. You need to have a good foundation to stand up against such bad weather. Here are the two houses. One, the house of the wise stands still in the bad weather, but the house of the fool collapse. Storms, you know what? Storms, only storms can reveal the quality of workmanship of the two builders. Jesus said again, hears these words of mine and does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The person who hears this word of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. What you do with what you know, that's matters. You hear and you does, and this is wise. You hear and does not do, that is foolish. Very plain and simple,
it's no rocket science. I really want you to know what you do with what you know, and that's the matter. My interesting question is why do people build on sand? Why? You know the rock is good. You know you build a house on rock is good. Why do people still build on sand? You have any idea? It's actually, this question is actually the same questions that I'm asking earlier. Why do people still build on sand? It's actually the same question as why someone knew God exists but live as though he does not. Who in the right mind would do that? I guess only foolish people would do such things. Because please don't take it lightly. You know, there must be tons of foolish people around. They think they are good, but in fact, they're not that smart. Do you know Fail Army? Have you ever heard of Fail Army? No? Are you sure? Fail Army. I was shocked. Okay. I was shocked, to be honest. Fail Army, okay, you don't know. Okay. They are the social media community who aren't afraid to laugh at themselves. You know how many likes and follows they have? Fail Army. Around 17 million likes or follows. How can they achieve that? How can they achieve that? 7 million likes and follows. It's really hard. There must be some tons of foolish people got caught on tape, got caught on camera so they can actually reveal these. So why do people build on sand? Why? Because it's easier? Because it doesn't take very much of work? Because it doesn't call for much sacrifice? You know, building on the rock is very hard. Some people will look for some easy way always and look for shortcuts to get what they want. However, you know that shortcuts never take you very far in the long run. When the storm came, beat against our life, our structure fooled no one's, especially not God, for sure. Just think about that. Just give a moment. Just think about that. If your structures collapse, all the time and work that you put into building the house in the first place will have gone for nothing. It's even stupid, more stupid if you do that. Poor people buy twice. Foolish people will take shortcuts. But at the end, he lose more. Brothers and sisters, build your house on solid foundations. It is what you do with what you know that matters. Both the wise and the foolish hear the teaching of Jesus, but it's not enough. Hearing and knowing the teaching of Jesus are worthwhile only when you act on what you hear. The word of Jesus, the word of God, is not to inform, but to transform our lives. And act on what you hear, brothers and sisters. It seems times that everything in the world is set up to make us turn away from God. And often our own feelings pulls us towards doing exactly opposite of what the Bible says. But a wise man will follow the words of God despite the pressures as he trusts in Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. If you forget anything, if you kind of like not remember what I said for like the last 20, 30 minutes, I want to get your attention right now, right here, right now. I want to be practical. I want to make sense to all of you. Remember this, okay? Remember this. Every time you lie to get away from anything. And every time you despise or ignore the poor or needy in front of you, or every time when you betray or hate someone that you don't like, it's like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. But every time you take a hit and be honest, and every time you generously give to the poor and needy, and every time you love your neighbor as yourself, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It is what you do with what you know that matters. Act on what you hear, church. Turn to our anchor, our Lord Jesus Christ, the cornerstone.
Brothers and sisters, let's rise. Let us remember not to build our houses on sands. Let's just not know about God as our Lord, but we follow Him wholeheartedly. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. And He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found. Trust in His right. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Yes, only Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. You're the Lord of all, King of kings. Only Christ alone, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Sing praises. Christ. strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Brothers and sisters, be seated. Every first Sunday of the month, we follow the church tradition to host the communion. This is a time when we are reminded that God not only exists, but He is actually with us. He is with us right now, and He is available for everybody who is willing to confess that He is the leader of your life. And He is generously pour out His Spirit to live with us, in us even. If you say yes, if you say, Lord, I welcome You, I want you to live in me and be with me for the rest of my life. So the communion is a reminder of this invitation that He is there, He is available.